Hi, and welcome to the Dewing Grain podcast. Dewing Grain are independent and local grain traders. From seed supply to harvest movement and storage contracts, they can offer you the best strategies to achieve the highest prices for your harvest. Each week on our podcast, we begin with the market report, giving you up-to-date information and analysis, followed by the farm chat, where we catch up on agricultural issues with a guest or two. So let's start with Andrew Dewing for this week's market report. And don't forget, you can always check current market prices on the homepage of our website, dewinggrain.co.uk.
Welcome to the market report. What follows are my thoughts or gut instincts on what the market is going to do. It is not an instruction to trade. Any decision to trade is yours. Market report for week commencing 8th of April 2024. Hello everybody. Right, there's quite a lot going on whilst the market price different isn't that great. So the downtrends on charts on Chicago wheat, for example, have kind of broken a recent downtrend. It's broken, which means if you're a technician that we're looking for some form of rally. So that's kind of a positive thing. But it doesn't really feel like there's going to be a rally. That's the problem. There's benign weather largely around the world. You can cherry pick the odd thing that might be going wrong. It's a bit dry in the Black Sea, which is a big hope. The farm chat this week is again Ben Webby and I, who are growing up and slightly more accurate with our information this week because it's not April Fool's Day anymore. And we did enjoy that, I will say. Last week's podcast, that would be. We're in a place where I'll reel off a load of prices because it sends most people to sleep. 145 for feed barley. That's quite a buoyant market at the moment. There's a firm out there paying a fairly aggressive price relative to where the market has been for quite a long time. Not much to report about that. It's getting near the end of the season on feed barley, so if you've got feed barley left, ditch it. Feed wheat, 164x for May, 170x for July. And if you're selling new crop feed barley currently, you'd be about 182 for November. So if you're carrying it from old crop to 170 for July, and you are going to carry it through till that's £12 a tonne benefit for doing it. That is probably, it's certainly worth it financially. If the grain's in good condition, nice and cool and dry, etc., then there's money in it. So if you can do it, that would be what people are going to do. How many people can actually do that is the massive debate. Is there enough grain going to come forward from farm before the end of the season to satisfy all the demand that's there or isn't there? Or is it going to be relying upon futures store stuff? Which I think at the moment, that's where we're at. And let's bear in mind, you know, when I'm talking about prices I'm giving you there, there are probably some better ex-farm prices about. But I will remind people, our stuff goes locally. So if there is any trouble, you know, someone's found a dead ladybird's leg or something in there, they're going to reject it. It's a local haul or easily sold for not very much money. The price is ex-farm for some of these guys. You need to check with the rep, you know, where's it going to go to? They probably don't know, but that's not the point. Anyway, point is, we've had some of our futures wheat collected from Norfolk, driven all the way to Girvan. Now, I'll let you look on the map where Girvan is. It's a bit extreme, to say the least. Several destinations in between Girvan and here, in Yorkshire, for example, is, you know, 20-odd pounds haulage, 22, 23 pounds haulage away from the stores that are closest to the west of our county. Some of the stores that are in slightly less desirable places, like lovely Aylsham, is a very desirable place, but it isn't a very good place to pick up grain from because the road structure of Norfolk is still in the Middle Ages, as some people know. So, you know, it's going to be a struggle to get stuff from Aylsham to the Ensus plant on Teesside for, you know, a decent haulage rate is my point. And I think that futures have got some technical miseries to come, but at this precise moment, it's readily available. There's no hassle. People aren't too busy to load. It's like they've got to load it, and therefore it is moving out of store. Not quite at the pace that people were threatening or suggesting, but it's still physically moving. And I think the dynamics of the old crop wheat, in the end, my view is there is enough, and the tonnage that's surplus tonnage is held by farmers, and they can't hold all of it. So I do think there'll be a moment where people sell that grain from farm to create the space for harvest or get the money in or whatever they're doing. And that will, in the end, leave futures in the less desirable stores not worth quite as much money. Now, hopefully, there'll be an opportunity for some people to pick that up and carry it into new crop or something. Our only problem is, as I've mentioned previously, that some of our stores cannot carry it. They've got to empty because we have got a crop coming in Norfolk. We haven't had the miserable weather. And we've even had one farmer this week saying, I wouldn't mind if it carried on raining because I'm kind of up to date and it would suit me. So how about that? Shallow rooted crops need moisture and all that. But most farmers are not in that luxurious position. So, old crop wheat, I've given you prices. Milling wheat is now beginning to come under pressure on the premium because the millers are importing bucket loads of German and foreign wheat with high protein. It's a sensible thing for them to do. There's a discount on this crop relative to next crop. So milling wheat premiums are going to be have a ceiling on them unless we have a terrible Hagberg year. So still a half-decent premium on milling wheats at the moment. The thing that's most on fire, I say on fire, is smouldering lightly, is malting barley. The lack of planting of the spring barley crop, we're now into April, so yield is being impaired. And if someone does put barley in the ground, they have to put less nitrogen on the later it goes on because you've got a lower yield to share the nitrogen over, and you'll end up with a nitrogen that's too high to make distilling and the full premium. And okay, there's still some good premiums for 185 nitrogens, but it's a risk the later you plant it, the higher the nitrogen. But the market is firm because all of a sudden, the reality of supply, this great big spring barley crop that was going to come, isn't going to happen. A lot of it's going to be there. And I actually sent a note to a maltster this week saying something to the effect of, if you want low nitrogen spring barley next harvest for your distilling, the phone call you need to make is to a Norfolk grain merchant because we have got 80% in the ground in good time and it's had the nitrogen and it's thriving and all of it's going into plant growth. What we need is for there to be enough moisture in those critical May-June months. We don't want it to get to the end of April, suddenly turn hot and dry, because that would be disastrous. And that is also a threat hanging over everybody, not least the maltsters who want to have lots of lovely barley. So malting barley is firm. Old crop malting barley is now, you know, the FOB price has gone up a good €10. So 230x. Something like that, maybe 240x, depending on the grade or the variety, you know, or even a bit more than that, perhaps. It's a little bit loose at the moment, and the maltsters are kind of trying to buy it at prices they were buying at a few weeks ago, and everyone's just saying, nah, haven't got any, or pretending that they don't care. It's quite enjoyable, this particular aspect. And new crop prices, the FOB price has gone up, you know, 15 to 20 euros over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. So that one is clearly showing all of the fears of a lack of planting around this country and Scandinavia and the late French crop going in. So there's plenty of troubles and the maltsters all of a sudden might have to be partly nice to you. That would be a dream. Good news, really. Good price news for everybody. And if you've got your crop in the ground, happy days. If you haven't, you know, feel for you. We've got a lot of people who are seriously, you know, I suppose modern day language is mentally damaged by it or whatever, but miserable things occur. You have to deal with it stoically and there will be a harvest and you just, you know, you pick the best solution of all the miseries that you go through. But next year might, you know, might be better, that it'll be a sunny day tomorrow, whatever. And at that moment, the sun just bursts through the clouds to shine on me. But you can't see that because it's a podcast. That's God saying, you're right, Andrew. The only thing I'm left to say for this week's podcast is our April podcast walk will be on the 30th. And this is the grown-up one, as opposed to the, if those of you looked at the podcast last week, the What Three Words, you'd have discovered that the one we suggested was actually in the middle of Buckingham Palace Yard. And obviously that's not where we're holding our podcast walk. So this is the proper one. So the last day of April, the 30th of April at 2 p.m, we're going to meet outside our futures store at Honingham. By kind permission of the farm manager, Harry Harrison, he's actually said he's going to walk around with us and we'll do an interesting walk, grass margins, footpaths, about 6 or 7 miles, a couple of hours walking. As I say, we're going to meet outside the future store where there's plenty of parking. So this is the What Three Words. Smallest, dumpling, damage. That's a good one, isn't it? Anyway, smallest dumpling damage, 30th at 2 p.m, Honingham Futures Store, doing grain podcast walk. I look forward to seeing, well, me and Harry are walking at least. There's hopefully there'll be a few more of you as well. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. Please remember, that any decision to trade on this opinion is yours.
Attention all farmers and consumers. It's time to chuck on the wellies and join us for our podcast walk around our beautiful Norfolk countryside. Our walks are a great way to network, share insights, and just have a good old yarn. As an added bonus, there is normally a nice pub at the end with the opportunity for a beer or coffee. To stay up to date with our upcoming walks, head over to our Instagram page or check the news section on our website so that you don't miss out. Now, let's head back to the farm chat.
All right, this week, yet again, I have Webby and Ben with me. Hello, gents.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, last week's podcast, if you're a foreign person, you might not have worked out that, in fact, we were joking. And we'd like to say that the response we've had has been phenomenally good. Everyone's been laughing about it. You know, and if there's any foreign firms thinking about suing us for some of our statements, it is a prerogative of the British people to have a thing called April Fool's Day. So if they want to have the really bad publicity of, like, taking us down because we've said some things we shouldn't, good luck. We'll defend ourselves.
But they are, I mean, joking apart, but they are, like, I say, mini fantasies anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. I think we could help the farming community by doing all of the marketing for the cooperative stores, because I think we could, yeah, that would shake a few of them up a bit. There'd be a few less soft in-house deals that kind of helps the consumer, let's put it that way. We're about trying to help the farmer, aren't we? So I hope most of you enjoyed it.
I mean, yes, quite a few people did write in and say, well, we think Andrew should be knighted. Like, it was natural.
Well, it's obviously that I'm expecting here any minute. But services to something or other. Anyway, very bad servicing generally. So, right, that's that one out of the way. Let's discuss everybody's favourite topic, the weather.
Yeah. Well, again, it's the split, isn't it? Within the UK, there is a massive split. Norfolk and possibly Suffolk seem to be better than other areas of the country.
But Norfolk's having the best part of 2 inches of rain if you take a seven-day period, which is not ideal, is it? We've all come to a stop again. Everyone's looking glum and looking at fields with puddles in and so on.
Yeah, but we're still better than some other parts.
I would say in a very parochial patch around here, it's actually looking quite good on the spring front.
I made a comment to one of our favourite maltsters this morning that Norfolk has got its spring barley in, 80%, 75-80% in, and the stuff that's gone in has had 14-15 degrees temperatures, lots of moisture, it's up, and it looks absolutely stonking.
Does look great,
So on the basis of that, and there's the odd bit that's in
there. There's the odd headland and stuff like that, But,
you know, largely, we've got a crop that's in time. So full nitrogen rates, which has been applied in a lot of cases, and they're taking it up in plant growth. There's a good fortnight of wet, it ain't going to be drought out yet, let's put it that way. So the crop has got off to the perfect start. So maltsters, if you know, the regular listeners out there who are maltsters, of which there's about six of you, if you want to buy low nitrogen spring barley, the place to buy it from is Norfolk next year. And sorry to give the game away to some of the merchants who don't realise it, but that's why we're called God's County. That's why the malting barley is always good in this place. So we are expecting, with such a good start, we're expecting the price, or the quality, sorry, of our barley to be in its usual place.
I don't really know what came over me, but over the weekend I was a bit bored.
You bought around?
Sorry? Oh,
even I think that's a bit low.
It's what you have to do, isn't it? It's like, get in there quick.
So, yeah, I decided to tune into a podcast of one of the enemies. And
is it sleep?
It's not overly interesting. That sounds awful. I shouldn't criticise. But anyway, no, some of the content was interesting. But the bit that did shock me is, I mean, whether things have moved in the week, but they were talking about 20% nationally and only 5% in Scotland.
Of spring barley planted.
Spring barley planted. So, I mean, they did reference, you got till the end of April, late April, spring barley in Norfolk. Yes, we'll get a crop, but it's not going to be, you know.
It was a matter of interest. Was it like someone reading it out, or was it someone having a chat?
No, it's reading it out.
Okay. A lot of firms can't do this, you appreciate.
No, I can understand why, And it was written out by all of their trade. And actually, in fairness, the content was right. Most commodities repeated the same mantra of the same story.
It's like the TV stuff, isn't it? I mean, everyone knows who we're talking about with that. Or people can put very definitive facts, but when you are a corporate organisation, you are effectively, you're gagged. You can't make a statement that might not be absolutely 100% correct. We allude to things. We say what we think, not always necessarily know. And the whole point of that is It gets you to think, that the listener thinks, ah, they're wrong on that, what a bunch of idiots. And we were saying that, you know, we take the mickey out of some people on our podcast, but I'm quite certain you said that...
Well, I'd like to think they take the piss out of us as well.
Yeah, mercilessly. We make mistakes on this.
One of our favourite listeners is constantly giving us banter every Monday morning saying, I can't believe you boys have said that, and correcting us, so that's fine. But proves we have one listener.
What they can't do is actually, they can't do this. So is freedom of speech is real in doing grain anyway. Anyway, so wet. The rest of the country is suffering with the wet. The implications for us now in Norfolk is, I think there's still some potatoes in the ground. There's still the odd sugar beet in the ground. Probably not quite going to make it to the factory. Probably the sugars are down to about 1% anyway. Yeah, largely the wheat crop also looks exceptionally healthy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the winter cereals look good. And we're also very fortunate, I think, in the main, this is a generalisation, we weren't that far behind on planted area. If I was to guess, I mean, this might upset a few, but I'd say Norfolk was 90% drilled, something like that.
I went to a meeting of one of our farmer groups, if you like, who all of the people in the room had 25% or more spring barley, more than they planned.
But if it's the group I'm thinking of, they're in the worst area in Norfolk for it. Their land types were...
Well, I think a lot of people did end up doing that in Norfolk, but I think you couldn't avoid the winter being as bad as it was. But does that mean that the projected spring barley crop is as big as everyone? This is where it goes off the rails. If East Anglia's managed to get more acreage in because it had to, had no winter planting, and then it planned to put some spring barley in, certainly seed sales dictated that. Other parts of the country simply have had to abandon ship on it, haven't they? And even in, over here, some people have said, no, that's it, I'm not going to do it. So is the massive spring barley crop going to be in the ground? No, I don't think it is.
I think the AHDB in their survey last week was 29% up in area, spring barley.
Yeah, as I say, I think that was the average of the room last night in an area where they could get on. Mm. But the important issue is the spring barley crop such a monster that it's going to replace all of the stock and have lots of choice? I think the point we made earlier about Norfolk barley being low nitrogen and in good condition, the stuff that isn't planted yet is going to struggle to have low nitrogen.
Yeah.
Each day that goes by, the yield drops. Each day that goes by, less nitrogen needs to be applied to get to the same place. So by definition, the yield is lower, which by definition means the crop is smaller, which means it isn't that much of a surplus. And we've also heard a story this morning of a prominent malting barley purchaser who's been washed.
Yeah, he went to an adults only campsite, didn't he?
We don't know that bit. That's an accusation. We know that he got washed out of his campsite in France.
Yeah.
So the old Frenchies are still, you know, still suffering, unfortunately, poor old boys.
I was going to say something about surrendering, but I won't.
Yeah, anyway, dodgy last minute penalty. I was glad of that. I was in a bar with four English blokes and about 70 French teenagers, and we scored just literally at the point at the end of the game. We're going to win by 1 point. And we're thinking, oh, no, because the mood was kind of like...
You just sat there quietly.
Well, the mood was kind of subdued. And then, luckily, the ref felt the pressure and gave a dodgy penalty. Celebrate like they were the best team. But that, it was, I think, to me, the winners of that was the English team who
were
unexpected. Anyway, yeah, we love the French. The other thing I was going about wheat was the spraying. There must be pressure on spraying.
Yeah, there are certainly yellowy-looking crops out there.
That's not disease, is it? Or is it? Or is that just stress and moisture?
I don't know, I'm crap with the agronomics. Yeah, it might be, it could be a combo of both. I don't know.
Yeah, but you were talking about little tips.
Wrong
on,
person to
on
ask. I mentioned it this morning, I know.
It's exactly. Like you've been in the field on your knees looking at it. What the hell's that? Little tips of the... I thought, oh, blimey.
No, I don't know. It's one of those sad observations you make every day, isn't it? You glance across.
Well, we go past the same field, don't we? Yes, we do. And you're like, okay, I'll have a look.
I followed you in behind.
Did you?
You're driving a bit quickly.
Well, yes, because I was being harassed by someone behind. I thought I was going to be attacked by some sort of terrorist. Dodgy second-hand broken-down car. Anyway, what else is going on that's like of implications in this market? What's going to inspire the market?
There is a bit of a, not a dramatic, I mean, we argued this in our trades meeting the other day, but I think there is definitely a sentiment change. I'm not saying I personally have a bullish hat on, but maybe we've probably seen the low. I just don't, it doesn't have that. 2 weeks ago, it felt bloody awful, the sentiment. Mm. It's not that bad.
So what do you mean by that?
I personally don't see bullishness until we see a world weather market. But I think this decline is slowed up a lot.
You're talking about new crop as well, aren't you?
I think old crop has an issue, downward movement
issue. Yeah.
Unless the people who own the long position on May are strong enough to take it on. And I think potentially, looking at that, we know who owns the futures stock. There aren't many of them. One of them's definitely going to retender.
Right.
The other three are physically moving it, not as fast as they projected.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lump more coming in, which we've mentioned before.
But surely the answer to that question is, which stores are going to come on? Whoever takes the long on is going to get some bloody awful stores. I mean, ours would look quite attractive, but we're probably guessing that they're going to get lifted. But, I mean, who's going to want to own Kent?
We're assuming there's a short enough position there for the stuff to come in. I agree.
Yeah.
And are they going to take Kent? We've had stuff from some of our stores going to Girvan. You know, and I get it, as apparently the haulage rate was 30 quid.
I think there's some competitive haulage rates, Chase. Which is
some bankrupt hauliers, more like.
Yeah.
It isn't going out at the pace, though, that they anticipated. So there's still a lump of it there from what came in November. Mm. And what we've got coming in next is just going to go splop, isn't it?
Also, the other interesting point, so not completely to steal your thunder, Ben, but we had some correspondence with one of our good European mates is telling us about the prices of milling wheat on the continent.
Yeah, I mean, that is jaw-dropping. What the equivalent they've been buying Group 1 13% milling wheat at, it worked out to be £180 delivered the mill in Hungary and Germany, sterling. 180.
So is that sort of Russian off the back?
Well, yes, quote marks, it's German. Right. But yes, it's coming from everywhere, isn't it? But it's 13%. It's doing a job.
Yeah, so the UK miller is now tapping up some German imports as well, no doubt.
We're well aware of with stores with German, again, I'm using the inverted comma marks, German milling wheat. It will have come from a German port, but you can bet your bottom dollar it is not German.
Oh, if only there was a digital grain passport, we'd be able to tell, wouldn't we? Oh, no, they don't need them over there. So you just buy that old shite and have a certificate and says, it's German, 13%, thank you very much. Yeah. You better do the digital passport, though, you British farmers.
But I think that is, you know, the old crop dynamic, again, against imports that are surely going to be steaming in on milling wheat. Maybe bits of feed wheat in places, because I've heard that's calculated.
There's definitely been feed wheat and corn done on new crop.
So, the farmer's sentiment of, and I get it, you know, these are prices no one's enjoyed and loved, and there's a very much, I'm not going to let it go attitude in a lot of places. But when you've got imports streaming in, especially on feed wheat, in my head it's like, ooh, you know, the problem gets compounded. Down the line, what is the market going to be like? Well, it feels the consumers are getting quieter as each week goes on now.
To me, new crop problem, which is clearly a much smaller crop, and everyone's talking about driving up the A1 or the A17 and everywhere's flooded and there isn't a crop and it's as much, we're going to be in real trouble next season. Mm. And everyone's farming is focusing on that. Yeah, I'm not selling it. Mm. The problem is solved by the carryover, the imports.
Yeah.
And it is solved. It's pretty well solved already. Not completely. Yeah. I'm sure people can cash around that if the market changes. But with the carry there is, 25 quid or 24 quid between May and Nov. Yeah.
I mean, we're a 20 quid premium to where we would be normally against the Matif market. You know, we calculate to import. I'm sure I haven't done the maths myself.
No,
but
there's stuff been traded. Yeah, it's trading.
We were £5 sterling premium to French milling wheat.
Yep. So if you're a Danish person, surplus feed wheat, which they get rid of, the first place they'll go is the best market, which is us.
Yep.
So trades have been done. So that, don't be shocked. You know, that in theory, there's a shortage next year in the UK, but there isn't because it's already been
Yeah, and we had that debate in the office. Like, and my view is, like, if we lose another million tonnes off the UK crop, it's irrelevant. We're still an importer.
The real hope you have is the dry weather in the Black Sea evolves into something real. And there's been a long time since they've had a serious drought.
Yeah, sorry, just on that point as well, the other thing that you need to keep your eye on is oil prices are going up, and they're going up pretty aggressively.
Because of?
Because Ukraine keep bombing refineries in Russia. Now, Putin's got a bit of a problem because he's banned exports and he was making income from oil. He's not making as much income. He's going to fall back on his grain and agriculture. I don't know, he could still throw a right spanner in the works.
I suppose, not that we trade nitrogen. The obvious thing is nitrogen prices, therefore, should go up again.
Yeah, because you'll see gas follow oil.
We're applying logic to a market that has no logic, but that, I would suggest, is a consideration.
Yeah, well, sorry, the other point that Putin's got to be wary of is inflation in Russia, because that will now be going up. So he's going to want to try and keep prices low for his population because he wants to keep everyone on side. So it's how he's going to manage the food, because fuel prices in Russia are definitely going up.
He'll have to bomb somebody new, won't he, to change the subject?
Yeah.
Bit like Israel, using Red Cross vans as target practice.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not good, though, is it?
Yeah, I know.
It was a terrible mistake. Okay, yeah, it was. I wonder how many weeks before that is all over.
It was not going to be, is it?
Well, it's got to be. They're going to run out of people to kill soon, aren't they?
Well, no, because they're just going to move into Syria.
What do you do with the Gazans and all the Palestinians? Just let them starve and don't let the aid in still and bomb any aid that goes in.
Mm-hmm. We're being anti-Semitic now. Stop now.
And so all the Palestinians come here and start waving flags at the UK people and terrorising the MPs. Yeah, great. Okay. We should be on GB News, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about USCA on Thursday. Is it Friday? Mm-hmm. Thursday.
Yeah.
The shock number to that, which did give the market a little twitch, was the corn number. 90 million acres prospective corn planted area, which was a shock. That caught the trade.
What was the actual estimate?
I can't remember. I think the mean was something like, was it 91? It was at the bottom end of the range, or maybe just outside. I can't remember exactly. But it was a shock, and certainly
pushed the market up, and then what happened? It went back down again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, on that sort of area, if there's any weather scares, if the La Nina comes in and causes a dry Midwest, I think there's a very interesting summer to come.
At this precise second, they've just started planting corn.
They are, yeah.
And it's all going nicely. The winter wheat crop's in good condition, ahead of schedule.
It is, yeah.
3% headed or something.
Yeah.
So all is well, isn't it?
It's all right, yeah.
And for the next week, it'll be well.
Yeah.
And for the next week, Europe remains wet and Russia remains dry, or Black Sea remains dry. So nothing new here yet. When do we see the change?
June, July, I think, earliest, personally, is my view.
Old people talking about when it turns dry, you get 3 days of 30-odd degree heat, and all of the good work of having crops with very low rooting structure and the moisture not being there takes the thing out in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
Those are considerations that don't feel like they're coming at the moment.
Definitely aren't any deep rooting winter cereals, are there?
No, it can't be. They're in a puddle.
Yeah.
But my point is that the heat now that you get from the sun, it's incredibly warm quickly.
Yeah.
I guess in 3 months' time, I'll remember when we said that in April. Speculation, it may or may not happen. It might stay cloudy all the way through, but it certainly is going to struggle to deal with any form of stress or lack of moisture.
It's raining again.
Well, that's not news, is it? There's nothing else in the market, so...
No, and it's Easter, isn't it? Look, quite a few of the trade are away, I think, as are some farmers, so... Yeah. It has been thin this week, I'll be honest, but there's still bits and pieces going on. Rapeseed markets had
A lot of rape moving.
Yeah, a lot of rape moving now.
A lot of malting barley finally moving. We're cracking that into the base.
Touch, yeah.
You know, there's the occasional trouble, but predominantly it's all going to plan. Will we be empty by harvest? Doesn't quite feel like it, actually. It feels a bit slower than that, doesn't it?
Mm.
And the big worry for us is with the futures that we're going to lump in on May the 1st and the stuff we've got in stock, will that all move? I think that will become particularly slow in May. I think there'll be a lot of farm stuff to move then.
Yeah.
I mean, we had people come on today, so it's got to go by the end of May. We need the money, we need,
I still do feel, and this is from conversations echoed amongst mates, a serious amount of wheat still unsold on farm. I would say there's 30 to 40% would be a guess.
Yeah, I mean, the guy phoned up today and he had 500 tonnes and it's got to go. Mm. Okay, I'll give you threepence. He went, thanks very much.
Certainly from this recent spike, it has brought a lot of farmers into the market. We've had some bigger days and it's like great. It's a bit of a get-out-of-jail moment.
So if it keeps going up, the people who are going to sell have probably sold, so there won't be anybody selling it whatsoever. Mm. If it goes down, people aren't going to like, well, we'll wait till it spikes up again. I think we're going to go into another lull.
Yeah.
Unless it really goes up to £200 a tonne, then everyone will let it go. But that's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Okay, right. So that's kind of where we're at. Any other scandal?
Ben looks like he ate too many Easter eggs, but yeah.
Thanks, Webby. What I will say is, your socks seem to match your underpants. You've got pink pants on and pink socks. Look at that.
Why are you sitting in just your pants, Ian? Just about
I think you need to buy some better fitting clothes, Ian.
Did you sort of wet your trousers or something? Anyway, with that happy thought, you'll let your imaginations go.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to get updates on new episodes and follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Dewing Grain. Alternatively, you can call us on 01263 731 550 or email info@dewinggrain.co.uk.